Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. This week, we're going to talk about fatigue, which you may all be experiencing during this time. Right now, we're at the beginning of April, and a lot of us have many things on our plate to juggle since we are in the thickness of the novel coronavirus and all of the social distancing, working from home. So many moms, like Toni and I, are juggling working, having the kids around more, and then just trying to keep up some self-care. So today we're going to talk about what actually impacts your energy levels, how to test for certain markers that can be reasons for why you have low energy, although testing right now is probably difficult to get. And then we're going to talk about ways that you can increase your energy, simple tips that you can do right away. You can pick a few of those and hopefully you'll start to feel more energized. So Dr. Toni, how are you doing over there in Calgary? How are your energy levels right now?
Oh, well, it's so funny that we're talking about energy and fatigue today. Because with Frankie and with sleep, it's still kind of up and down. So even like last night, I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning with her. It's still a work in progress. It's something that I have to manage it, you know, every day, kind of differently. So, you know, that's again, kind of life as a mom. You know, how are you doing over there in Toronto, Lisa?
I'm holding up. I actually am almost too fired up. Sometimes when like things get stressful or busy, I get a little less sleep. I'm more motivated to get more done. And I'm finding it's hard to get time in the day to get work done, to connect with patients, to do my telemedicine visits. So I'm getting up really early. I'm probably not getting quite enough sleep. I am going to bed really early, but once I wake up, my brain's like, oh, I got to get up. I got to do this. And it's stuff that I am enjoying. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I think I'm going to crash soon if I keep up at this level. So I think I need to really start to get a little bit more sleep, schedule in some more rest and breaks in the day because I don't want to crash.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's something that I'm really aware of right now, especially even with last night. I got a little bit of sleep. I was feeling quite awake this morning, so I got some work done, but I really watched for, you know, a time when I could nap and really took advantage of that and really almost had to force myself to nap to get a little bit more sleep because I really wanted to prevent hitting that wall.
That's so great to have that prevention because I remember being a new mom and having like minimal time with all the breastfeeding and getting up in the middle of the night. And, you know, you're always told sleep when your baby sleeps. Well, I was one of those people that I didn't really do that and I should have. And then my hormone levels paid for it later. My energy levels definitely crashed. I started to have some thyroid issues. So I think that's a good way to ensure you're not going to get to that point. So thanks for bringing that up, Toni. So for all of you out there scheduling in those even 20-minute naps or times where you're just taking a break, that's so key.
For sure, because especially with sleep, it really is important to kind of look at, you know, what is your minimum and actually making sure that you're getting your minimum.
Mm-hmm. So know yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at how do we actually get energy? Well, if we're looking at it from a Chinese medicine perspective, so qi is our energy. So I'm going to really simplify it, but we're born with some energy. It's called jing. We inherit that from our parents, from our family. And then we also get energy from the air that we breathe. We transform the air to energy in the lungs. And then we also get energy from the food that we eat. In Chinese Chinese medicine, the spleen's the digestive organ. So that transforms our food into energy. So we really want to look at what we can control. So, you know, we'll get into some breathing exercises that you can do to boost your energy, but oxygen is what gives us energy. It fuels our body. It fuels our brain. Then obviously the food that we're eating too can impact our energy levels. We don't want to be deficient in nutrients. We also want to ensure we're breaking our food down properly. So we'll get into that as well. So definitely the breathing, the food component, and then sleep is a no-brainer when it comes to energy. So if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to feel exhausted the next day. That's the time for our body to recharge. And our body repairs any damage that's done during the day. So you're rebuilding tissues, muscles, and so you can be as strong and as resilient as you can be. And sleep is so key for the immune system. So really important to get during this time. So I need to remind myself to make sure I'm getting that 7 or 8 hours that I need. And I'll just touch on sleep is the time when your brain actually clears out any neurotoxins that have been generated in the day or that you've accumulated. There's something called the glymphatic system. So if you don't get enough sleep or good quality sleep, those neurotoxins aren't going to be flushed out of the brain, and that can contribute to mental fogginess, fatigue, brain fog, potentially contributing to dementia. So another reason to get a good night's sleep. And Tony, what is a good night's sleep? We hear that all the time. But how do we know we're getting enough?
Yeah. Well, you know, research is really suggesting that, you know, somewhere between 7 to 9 hours a night is ideal. And so again, that's where looking at kind of what your minimum is. You know, I know of some women who know that, okay, my minimum is like 8, or an ideal is even more than 8. So it really is about looking at what works for you. There is kind of even a theory of the idea of a chronotype where, you know, timing can shift between people. So to really kind of optimize your sleep, you know, you might be more of a night owl. So you might be able to get away with a little bit less sleep if you're getting that sleep later on. Whereas again, some people are more of those early birds like you, Lisa, who you know, go to bed early, get up early, and that's really ideal for them. So you know, we can even link in the show notes to a sleep expert. I believe his name is Michael Bruce, and he has that idea of the chronotype. So you can kind of check that out for yourself to see. Again, it's about that idea of knowing yourself and knowing what really works for you. And another way of kind of checking that out, and something that I've done in the past is online, you can find different cognitive assessments where you can kind of test your brain power and your ability to do certain tasks after different levels of sleep. One of the ones that I've done before is one by Cambridge Brain Sciences. They were collecting a bunch of research. So at the time that I had done it, I know that it was a free platform. It may not be free anymore, but we'll definitely link to it again in the show notes, and you can kind of check that out. So I had tried it out, you know, after 7 hours of sleep, after 8 hours of sleep, to really see, okay, how am I really able to function, not just how I think I'm able to function.
I love that. I'm going to have to check that out. And what was your optimal amount of time then?
Yeah, definitely, you know, around the 8 hour or more mark for sure.
Okay. Were you shocked to see like how it impacted the cognition when you had 7 or less?
I have to say I wasn't necessarily surprised because, you know, with myself, sleep is just so key for me that I know that it has a huge impact on me. And so I wasn't surprised at all to kind of see those changes. Yeah.
We'll have to check that out.
Absolutely. And again, if you want to revisit our past episode, episode 4 on sleep, we definitely talk about a lot more about how you can really optimize your sleep and get the best sleep hygiene too.
Yeah, check that episode out for sure. Another major reason for fatigue is a nutrient deficiency. So even though, you know, in Canada, in the US, we have the abundance of food, we're extremely well-fed typically, especially calorically speaking, but there have been studies to show that Americans still suffer from a wide range of nutrient deficiencies that significantly impacts their health. And nearly a third of the US population is at risk for at least one vitamin deficiency or anemia. So even if you're eating a lot of food, you may not be getting the right food. You might not be breaking it down and absorbing the nutrients. So as naturopathic doctors, a major deficiency we see, especially in menstruating women, but it can be in other people as well, if they're eating foods that are affecting their digestive system and contributing to leaky gut. You can listen to the episode on that. I believe it's episode 8. But you can have an iron deficiency. So iron, we get the most iron from animal proteins, for example, or meats. Those are great sources, but you can get it from some plant sources. But as females, when you're menstruating, you're losing iron that way too. So a lot of women come to naturopathic doctors, to myself and to Tony, and they're just talking about exhaustion. They're like, I'm so tired. My doctor says all my blood tests are normal. But there's actually normal and there's optimal. And we'll get into the testing a little bit down the road. But you want to have a naturopathic doctor look at your blood tests. So you may not be anemic, where you've hit the wall in iron, but you can have low iron stores. And then the iron is basically what carries the oxygen around your body. So if you don't have that carrier, you're not going to deliver oxygen to your brain, to your cells, to make energy. So that's a major nutrient deficiency that contributes to fatigue. Another one is vitamin B12. So this is a water-soluble vitamin, pretty common as well in females, but can also be found in the elderly if people are on certain medications. So that really helps with your energy. It helps the brain cells work better. And vitamin D is another major one, especially up here in Canada when we're covering ourselves up, we're wearing sunscreen. When we do that, we can't make vitamin D from the sun. And vitamin D acts on the hormonal system. So it's like a pro-hormone. So I've had people where they've had low vitamin D, you know, into their 30s or 40s and never had it tested, never really taken vitamin D regularly. And they start to take it and they feel a whole lot better. They're like, you know what? I can't quite pinpoint it, but just my mood's better. I have more energy. They feel good overall. And in the winter, people can suffer from that seasonal affective disorder. So energy and mood is low, and vitamin D can help with that as well. Tony, is there anything else I missed about nutrient deficiencies, how that impacts our energy?
I just really wanted to concur with, you know, kind of what you said. I've seen it so many times where we don't necessarily think of vitamin D as a nutrient for energy. I mean, we think about it for our bones, we think about it for our immune system, but I've definitely seen a number of women come into my office. We test their vitamin D level. It is, they are deficient, or even, you know, a few patients will have had vitamin D tests done in the past. It's not very common, but they know that they're deficient. And then we really make sure that they get an optimal level of vitamin D, and they notice a difference in their energy by just changing that one thing. So I think that can be, you know, really important to look at. Especially, I mean, the idea that maybe even a third of the population could have at least one vitamin deficiency is just really mind-blowing for me, especially when you think of the culture that we're in. Most of us are, you know, surrounded by abundance when it comes to foods. There's the idea that though we're still malnourished and we're eating enough, but we're not getting enough nutrients. And it is that idea of really, what are we eating? Are we eating nutrient depleted foods, ultra processed foods, foods, you know, that are really high in refined flours and industrial seed oils? Those aren't really nutrient dense foods. There's also, unfortunately, the idea that our soil is depleted from nutrients in a way that it hasn't been in the past. So we're not necessarily getting as many vitamins and minerals from our food, fruit and vegetables as in the past, because those nutrients aren't as abundant in our soil. So that can be a real issue for us, not only presently, but if that issue isn't corrected, we really need to look at how we're getting in our nutrients in the future as well.
Definitely. I know that's so key, right? We are what we eat and what our food eats too, even if it's the plants. What are they getting? What nutrients are they getting from the soil? So it's pretty shocking that, yeah, there's obesity, people are overweight, but they're eating the wrong types of foods. And then even if you're eating the right types of foods, you still may not be breaking them down properly and extracting the nutrients you need to give you energy, to help with hormone balance. So we always think about, okay, well, the first step is chewing, mechanical digestion. Are you eating slowly? You're getting into a relaxed state. You're breaking your food down with your teeth, so your body has less work to do. And then when you're in that parasympathetic relaxed state, you start to release stomach acid. So you want to smell your food. That's why we're supposed to cook our food, have time set aside to prepare it. And then you release stomach acid and you release enzymes. So when you eat the food, you could actually break it down. But so many of us are watching TV or working at the same time, so we're not in a relaxed state and we're not releasing the stomach acid and enzymes to break it down, which then helps our body get the nutrients from the food. We also need to make sure our liver and gallbladder are working properly. We don't have fatty liver, or if we've had a gallbladder removed, that can impact our ability to absorb fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin A, D, E, and K, for example. So all of these issues can contribute to you not getting the nutrients, even if you're eating the healthiest diet. And I see it time and time again, like type A, stressed out people, they're like, I have a perfect diet, but they still show up low in certain nutrients, their energy is low, their hormones aren't balanced, and these can be the reasons why. So it's really looking at eating in a relaxed state, chewing your food, making sure you don't have leaky gut. So you can listen to the episode for that one. I believe it was episode 8 again, so you can check that out. But make sure the digestive system is working properly. And my simplest hack for that is just getting in a little bit of apple cider vinegar before you eat and taking a few deep breaths. So even if you start with that, eat mindfully, that's going to help you absorb the nutrients a lot better.
Yeah, those are really great tips. And I'm a big proponent of apple cider vinegar before meals, because I mean, it has an acidic quality to it, so it can really help to support that proper stomach acid balance. As we age, we typically do not produce as much stomach acid as when we're young. So to really get that ideal level is key, especially we need enough stomach acid to be absorbing nutrients like iron, like vitamin B12, which are so key for energy too. Another definitely piece that we've talked about before in previous episodes is looking at our blood sugar balance. And sometimes it's tough to not get on that vicious cycle of sugar spikes and sugar crashes. But again, we really need to look at those that intake of simple carbs and sugars to really make sure that our blood sugar is nice and stable, not going up and down, because that will absolutely impact your energy. And you know, we definitely talked about that when we were talking about a weight gain in episode 15.
Yeah, so definitely check that episode out. You don't want to be reaching for carbs and sugars every 2 hours, because yeah, you're going to crash every few hours and reach for those treats that aren't going to nourish you. So that's a good point, Tony. So they can check out episode 15. Another cause of fatigue that we don't always think about or people aren't aware of is actually some side effects of certain medications can cause low energy. So I'm not saying get off of your medication, but it's just good to be aware of the side effects. So your naturopath can review the side effects and even nutrient depletions that different medications have, because Tony will talk about the birth control and that in a minute. But medications that can cause fatigue include some types of antidepressants, benzodiazepines, which are anti-anxiety medications, beta blockers, which are used to lower blood pressure, and different opioid pain medications. So just be aware of that. That could be contributing, but always talk to your doctor before making any changes with your medications.
Yeah, absolutely. Because so often the doctors that are prescribing the medications, our family doctors or specialists, aren't aware that these medications cause nutrient depletions. And there's a great website, mytavin.com, that will post a link in the show notes where you can actually type in your medication and it will show the nutrients that are depleted by that medication, with links to the research that has demonstrated that. And this is something that I do all the time for women who come into my office who are on birth control pills, because birth control pills are another medication that can lead to nutrient depletions, specifically of our B vitamins, our B12, also of a nutrient called tyrosine that's really important for our thyroid function too. So that is definitely something to really be aware of and look at, making sure that you are getting in those nutrients either from food or even potentially looking at supplementation with, again, the right guidance for you.
Definitely. So have your naturopath, review your medications. I like to use the natural standard. I'll have to check out your reference, Tony, too. That sounds like a good one to look for the depletions. And then you can help to offset those depletions by picking the right nutrients for you so you have less side effects or less fatigue.
Absolutely. Another big piece of the whole picture of our energy and experiencing fatigue that I look at all the time with my patients is adrenal function. I know we talk about stress all the time on our podcast episodes, but this is where our adrenal glands are key for maintaining our energy. Our adrenal glands produce our stress hormone cortisol, which is really important for having enough energy. So we do need a certain amount of cortisol. It's not like cortisol is a bad thing. We have a daily circadian rhythm of our cortisol, and we need a certain amount of cortisol, especially in the morning, to have that get up and go to get out of bed and take on the day. If you have been dealing with chronic long-term stress or anxiety, where the adrenal glands are pumping out that cortisol for long periods of time, eventually the adrenal glands can get tired. They can not have the same level of productivity that they normally would be. It's like, if you were expecting to work every day without, having a weekend or a vacation, your productivity is going to go down. And that's the same thing with the adrenal glands. So a certain amount of cortisol is needed. And if your adrenal glands are not able to produce that level of cortisol, then you are going to experience a drop of energy. So that's where something to really look at is really addressing a stress and anxiety, and even looking at other things that can deplete the adrenal glands. Definitely, we've mentioned in previous podcast episodes about things like caffeine and other toxins that you can take in that will impact your adrenal glands.
For sure. No, the adrenals are key. I think, as new moms and then as going through all of these changes with the novel coronavirus, the stress levels have definitely shot up. And for me, yes, I'm getting less sleep. I'm doing more. This is what happened when I was breastfeeding and not sleeping when Stuart was young. I wasn't sleeping enough or well, and then I did crash. So really making time to recharge, get that sleep, deal with stress, take breaks, limit caffeine, because the caffeine caffeine, it empties your gas tank a lot quicker. So you get a burst of energy and yeah, you might be productive for an hour or two, but then your gas tank's going to be empty and you're going to crash and be really less productive than if you had the caffeine before. So really managing your caffeine intake is really key too. Another gland that are in our neck that plays a huge role in energy production is the thyroid. And we've talked about this as well. So that governs our metabolism, our temperature, our energy levels, and so many things impact the thyroid. So stress hormones will slow how the thyroid works. Different chemicals, toxins in our environment can impair how it works. If we're nutrient deficient, so if Tony, you know, as Tony mentioned, you need enough tyrosine, so the birth control can deplete that. If you're not getting enough protein, you won't get enough tyrosine for the to make your thyroid hormones. You need the right amount of iodine, selenium, zinc, etc. Even vitamin D and iron, you need the right levels to make the appropriate thyroid hormone levels. And then some people actually have autoimmune conditions where their body is attacking the thyroid glands. So that can be figured out by a blood test, which we'll talk about soon. But that would be what's called Hashimoto's if it's more of a hypothyroid type thing. And then that needs to be addressed by looking at leaky gut, digestion, because most of our immune system is found in the gut. So that could be a whole other topic, but definitely adrenals and thyroid are key to balance whenever energy is low. So getting tested for those and then looking at what you need to do to rebalance them.
Absolutely. And that's, it's really key to look at if you are having any issues with energy is looking at, okay, really, what's the cause behind it? If it's a thyroid issue, why are you having the thyroid issue? So it is about, you know, really piecing out what is impacting your thyroid so you can really look at preventing any further damage from happening. You know, damage in the body is something that we really want to prevent when it comes to aging in the long term, but absolutely that damage or inflammation in the body can also be a cause of fatigue happening. And, you know, like we were talking about with sleep, sleep is a really key time for our body to repair that damage. And so if you're not getting enough sleep, that's where if you're not getting the time to repair the damage that is just being done to you during the day, that damage and inflammation is going to carry on into the next day and the next day and the next day. So it really is key. Again, that's another thing that can be tested quite easily. And then it's a matter of sitting down and saying, okay, well, where's this inflammation coming from? And that's definitely something that we do as naturopathic doctors.
Definitely. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, inflammation, we don't think of it necessarily as a condition in and of itself, but we're realizing it not only impacts heart disease and chronic disease, but may impact dementia, mood disorders like depression. Inflammation is being looked at a root cause. And then when you don't get enough sleep, yes, your inflammation is higher, as Dr. Tony mentioned. So you have actually what's called cytokines that are higher in the day, things that our body releases that are markers of inflammation. And those make you feel like you're kind of fighting the flu all the time, like you're sick, but you might not be sick. So you could really feel that impact in your body, just aches and pains as well. You just feel like you're kind of fighting something. You have mental fatigue or brain fog. That's definitely a component to a lot of health conditions.
Absolutely. And has a huge piece to how your immune system deals with different infections and viral infections. It's absolutely an issue when we're talking about the COVID-19 novel coronavirus infection in certain people. Managing that inflammation is really key. And that's where looking at the nutrients that you're taking in can be really important that way. Another piece of how our bodies function in terms of our energy is looking at actually where we produce energy in our body. And that's done by our mitochondria. They're like the engine in our cells that take nutrients and actually produce energy in the form of ATP. And I don't even want to tackle what ATP stands for right now, Lisa.
Adenosine triphosphate. I can say the whole word. Woo woo. Oh, or the whole name, but
I'm so glad you could, because I knew I was gonna mess that up.
But yeah, we won't get into the nitty-gritty there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely more of that mitochondria producing our ATP in our muscle. So building our muscle and supporting our muscle mass is super key that way. But we need the right nutrients in, and that's where that can be impacted by certain toxins that we take into our body. And even, again, looking at some medications will deplete the body of a really key nutrient for our mitochondria called CoQ10. That's where statin medications for lowering cholesterol is absolutely implicated in that as well. So that's something to really look at. Are you really supporting your mitochondria with the antioxidant nutrients that you're taking in, not only reducing inflammation, but also supporting your energy production in your cells?
I know it's amazing, though, these little powerhouses, and they actually have different, they have their own genetic material that's not protected in the same way that the genetic material or DNA is protected in our cells. So it's way more sensitive to toxins and chemicals, and we're living in a world full of those. So it's no wonder fatigue is a major issue for so many people. It could be from one of these other reasons, but usually it's more than one reason, and mitochondria can typically be a cause of it if they're not producing enough energy from the chemicals or nutrient deficiencies. So it's great to address that as well. And naturopathic doctors are trained in supporting mitochondrial function. And Tony, I don't know about you, but I get mentally fatigued. There's so many decisions to be made, raising kids, juggling, our own practices, managing a household. Of course, I have a partner and Pete really helps out a lot, but my mind's constantly thinking. And even now it's like, okay, what am I going to do with Stuart for these next few hours? When am I going to fit in my work hours? So mental fatigue is a big one that depletes our physical energy too. We're kind of like running on fight or flight. We're just thinking all the time. So we want to automate things in our life as much as possible. Sunday nights, Pete and I are looking at this calendar and looking at, okay, when am I working? When is he working? When are we getting our walks in or acts of self-care? When are we planning some time to actually have a conversation and connect with each other, not just about what needs to be done? And then even looking at what meals are we having? So not having to decide every day, but we're shopping once every week or two now, getting it delivered. So we really plan out our meals. We were pretty good with that before anyway, but now it's extra meals in the day too, lunchtime. We need to have that figured out. So really coming up with systems and healthy habits that are more of a routine so you don't have to think about it or make decisions. At least my wardrobe's pretty simple. I saw a funny meme that said, I'm putting on my night pajamas. I was wearing my day pajamas all day. So that's about right. I think I'm in a lot of comfy clothes. If I have telemedicine meetings, I might have a nice blazer or sweater on, but I'm definitely in leggings or pajama pants on the bottom.
I definitely relate to that as well. So we've already mentioned that there's really, in order to figure out if you are experiencing fatigue and low energy, needing to really piece out what is impacting that. Because like we have just talked about, there's a lot of different causes for fatigue and low energy. So how do you figure out what's impacting your low energy levels? One of the easiest things to do is to look at those nutrient levels. There's a number of different blood tests, really simple blood tests that can be done to piece out not only looking at nutrient deficiencies, but are you really having optimal levels? Often I will have patients come into my office who have gotten blood work done by their family doctor and everything is in the normal range. And when we actually look at the numbers, they're on the low end of the scale. So, you know, we were talking about not hitting the wall, but if you're getting close to the wall, you want to step away from the wall. So that's where it is about looking at, you know, blood tests, like looking at your iron stores, your ferritin, having a full iron panel to look at what your circulating levels of iron are. Looking at B12 levels in your blood, looking at vitamin D, looking at your blood sugar balance, not only your fasting glucose and insulin, but also a level called hemoglobin A1C that looks at your blood sugar balance over 3 months. Thyroid panel, looking at a full thyroid panel, not only the thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH, but the free T4, free T3, looking at, are there any thyroid antibodies so that you can really tackle if there's an issue with the thyroid, looking really at the root cause. And, you know, talking about inflammation, there's a simple blood test called the high sensitivity C-reactive protein. That level can easily be tested in the blood to see, are you experiencing a level of chronic inflammation that really needs to be addressed?
Yeah, these are all key. Those are great to ask for, right? But right now you might want to ask for a copy of your most recent blood work from your doctor to get your naturopath to review. Because I don't, you know, nobody really wants to go to the lab right now if they don't need to with the COVID-19 going on right now.
Absolutely. And that's where, depending on where you live, different places will have patient portals where you can log on to actually look at your lab results so that you can actually see the numbers, see what has been tested, and see where you're fitting in. I've also had patients who have come in and they know that they've been told in the past that they have low iron, but they're not necessarily taking an iron supplement or really making sure that they're getting iron-rich foods, or again, absorbing that iron. So if that's something that you have been told in the past, you know, something that I often tell my patients when there is that, they've said, okay, I've been told I have low iron. I haven't been taking an iron supplement. I say to them, you know, something to consider is to take a low dose of iron, a nice form of iron that is well absorbed, that's not going to really increase your iron levels too high, because there's a kind of a sweet spot for iron. It's definitely something to consider, and that's something I definitely talk with them to them about. So something to talk with your naturopathic doctor about as well.
And Tony, do you want to talk about how we can test for cortisol? We both love doing that in practice, right? So you still may be able to do that now, because some labs are shipping the test kits directly to patients, and then they're able to mail it in themselves without necessarily going to the post office.
Absolutely. And even, you know, my office is offering pickup of lab tests and supplements. So that's also an option too. We've talked about the Dutch test before. It's a dried urine test for hormones. Your adrenal function, your cortisol levels are definitely included in that. So that's an amazing, really comprehensive test. You can also test for your cortisol levels in saliva as well. So those are nice, really specialized tests that are done that is really outside of what your family doctor would order.
Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of those tests, and when patients get the results and they see, oh, my cortisol is bottomed out, oh, it's really low, they're almost thankful that they have a reason for their low energy. It's almost telling them, you know, you've been doing too much, or you need to start slowing down a bit, asking for help, looking at how you're living your life on a day-to-day basis. So it's a nice validation that, oh, it's not just in my head, because a lot of people with fatigue, you know, they're told their blood tests are normal. There's nothing that can be pinpointed in the medical world, but it's nice to see there's a reason. So even the iron being low normal, for example, some of the thyroid results being a little bit off, but close to those borders of the window of ranges, and then seeing the cortisol. Sometimes people are high, but a lot of times people are low. They've reached that burnout phase when they're feeling just exhausted and not motivated at all.
Absolutely. Now, what can you do if you don't have access to any of those results or any of those lab tests? What are some simple things that you can look at to increase your energy right away, other than just sleeping more. Some of the things that I really look at for myself and recommend for patients is to look at drinking more water, doing some regular deep breathing, getting in that oxygen, shifting out of your sympathetic nervous system response into your parasympathetic nervous system response, supporting your circulation with movement, and ideally getting outside to do that, moving your body, getting in some natural light can be really fantastic for energy and also for your mental health too.
For sure. And I think it's like especially key is getting that morning sunlight in. So that helps to trigger the release of cortisol in a healthy way. And then it does help with our body, like the cortisol, there's a cortisol melatonin cycle. So if you see sun and your cortisol is released at the right amount in the morning, then you're more likely to release the right amount of melatonin at night to help with a deep sleep. And yeah, it's interesting to think, but maybe you need, you know, 10 minutes of sunshine in the morning within the first few hours of waking, maybe without your sunglasses so that your brain is registering that sunlight and you get the most effects of the energy boost from that. We mentioned Tony, go ahead.
No, you go for it, Lisa.
Okay. I was going to move to the multitasking too. I think that's tough as a mom, as a business owner. We're jumping from one thing to the next, but that really zaps our energy. So really scheduling in your calendar. Okay. This time I'm going to focus on work. This time I'm really going to focus on my kids. This time I'm really going to have a conversation with my husband about how we're going to delegate and get things done. So if we don't have to be in our brain all the time, we have things scheduled or planned, and even writing it down, journaling, putting it on paper, using the bullet journal. We talked about that before. That can really help manage that brain that's jumping from one thing to the other, the monkey mind. So that's really key. And then scheduling in your rests, your breaks in the day, as Tony does, you know, really finding that time for that nap, taking time to lie down and meditate or just get outside as well.
Yeah, I love my bullet journal. So I'm so glad that you talked to Nicole North, the process improvement specialist, about the bullet journal. And I'm so thankful that she has that free online course, just so key in terms of really managing some of that mental fatigue, that mental stress that can be really built up as a mom and as a woman. Another key thing that maybe isn't always necessarily easy is really to look at addressing the things that are causing stress, and even taking time to actually experience your emotions and not just go through your day and just focusing on doing, but really looking at how am I feeling? Can I spend a couple of minutes to just feel any frustration or sadness or anger about what's going on? And are there any conversations that really need to be had that you're avoiding? Because that can definitely decrease your energy. I know that that has definitely been something that I've experienced in the past and something I talk about with my patients. And then simply, we really need to refuel our gas tanks. So it is looking at what you're putting in your mouth, what kind of nutrition you're getting in, balancing your macronutrients and blood sugar, like we've talked about, repleting those nutrients from that could be depleted from medications, and even looking at considering certain adaptogenic herbs that can really help to support adrenal gland function and thyroid function. Simple things like ashwagandha, holy basil, Siberian ginseng or Eleutherococcus, cordyceps and rhodiola. Those are things that I look at adding in tea form and other forms for myself and for my family, for patients as well.
For sure. And then, yeah, if you are low in iron, as Tony said, taking your iron, people can benefit from a B12 under the tongue or an injection from their naturopathic doctor, although right now the offices are closed, but telemedicine is available. And then for me, a key for me is definitely the water intake. So I start drinking water the second I wake up, making sure my breakfast is setting me up for good blood sugar balance. So lots of protein, healthy fat. I have a nice chia pudding with some collagen powder and flour. flaxseed in there. And then I need to move. I can't sit for, you know, too long at a time. I need to get outside, move, do those little exercise snacks as we talked about to get the circulation going. And really getting outside for a walk is key for me. And Tony, what's keeping you going right now? Like you said, you fit in your nap today. Anything else you're going to do to keep you energized and going?
It really is about, again, those things that I listed off in terms of getting in that water, really supporting that deep breathing movement, getting outside. And I think things like those adaptogens are really key right now. I'm even just going to talk about right now, my mama must have right now.
Is perfect timing. We want to hear
exactly
it.
Exactly right. I love elixirs right now. And what I will indulge in every once in a while is a mushroom coffee from Four Sigmatic. It's typically, I carry around these little packets in my birth bag when I'm supporting some of my patients with labor and birth support. I'm not typically a caffeine drinker. I do have a slow ability to metabolize caffeine. So I know that from my genetics. I even just knew that even before I had any genetic testing. The way our bodies process caffeine is determined by our genetics. So some people are fast metabolizers of caffeine. Some people are slow metabolizers of caffeine. I know if I take in too much caffeine, I can get jittery. It just doesn't work for my digestive system. And so that's where I haven't necessarily built up a tolerance to caffeine. So when I do need a boost in energy, something like today, I have something like the Four Sigmatic mushroom coffee. It also has some of those adaptogenic herbs that I mentioned. It has cordyceps and eleutherococcus and chaga with a lower amount of caffeine. It only has 50 milligrams. So it's not like I have a high amount of caffeine, but with those extra adaptogenic herbs and mushrooms, it really provides a nice boost of energy. I also love to put some coconut butter in there because that tastes really good.
Yummy. That sounds delicious. Yeah, coconut butter makes everything taste good. and I'm a fan
of
making...
It's definitely my mama must have right now. And how about yours right now, Lisa?
Oh, that sounds so good. So I do admit I am having a little bit of dark chocolate after my lunch. That's about as late as I can have it because it still has caffeine, but I'm limiting the amount. So that does give me a little bit of a boost. I do have 2 caffeinated teas a day. So I really like Earl Grey or green tea, but I can also make a matcha latte if I feel like I need a little bit of a boost. So matcha is that green tea powder. The simplest way to do it is I just heat up some coconut milk and water on the stove. And then I add the matcha, not when it's like boiling, because that may damage the antioxidants in the matcha powder, the green leaf green tea powder. But I mix in, I just put a small amount. I'm a slow metabolizer too. So I might put a quarter of a teaspoon of the matcha powder, which could still have about 16 milligrams of caffeine, or half a teaspoon, which would be double that. So about 32 milligrams. And then I'll add in about 2 teaspoons to a tablespoon of MCT oil. So that gives me a nice, long, sustained energy to get through my day. And it tastes really good too. But although I should try the coconut butter in there, that may be a good addition or change.
Oh yeah, it's yummy. But MCT oil is definitely a good thing to put in that as well, Lisa. And that's probably what's fueling your super mom moments that you're experiencing right now, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. So having Stuart home, I have to find out ways to burn energy. So every day we're trying to do something different. So he has a balance bike and he has his scooter. But I found online for those rainy days, there's something called Cosmic Kids Yoga. They have short yoga classes. So it could range from a few minutes to 20 minutes, but they have a theme and there's cartoons in the background. So we did one that was centered around dinosaurs and it was, I think, about 15 minutes or so. And Pete, Stuart and I all did it together and Stuart really got into it. He already knew how to do some of the poses before, but he was following along. It's pretty fast paced because they talk quick to keep the kids engaged, but look it up on YouTube, Cosmic Kids Yoga. Stuart has the opposite problem, right? Kids and toddlers. So Stuart's just over 3. It's like, let's burn off their energy. So they get a good night sleep, they get their nap, so then we can rest and have more energy. So that's my super mom moment, is finding the Cosmic Kids Yoga online.
And Tony, that's awesome. Yeah, I am going to have to check that out for Frankie for sure.
Nice. And I know you're doing a great job over there, but is there anything you can think of that would be a mama mess up for the week, Tony?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, Lisa. I definitely had a mama mess up, and actually I just had it yesterday. We have some big drawers in the kitchen that Frankie likes to play with. And fortunately, up until last night, she hasn't had too many issues. She's really careful about not having her fingers in the drawer when she's closing the drawer. Except yesterday, I was in the kitchen getting some food ready. I had the drawer open. She was kind of playing with the drawer as it was open. I said, you know, watch your fingers. And I thought she had pulled her hand away. So unfortunately, when I closed the drawer, she started crying. I had closed the drawer on her finger. So definitely a mama mess up there. And sure, she learned her lesson, but maybe in a way that I really didn't want to force that lesson to be experienced. I didn't want to be the source of it.
That's tough love. She learned the hard way. I don't think that'll happen again. So, you know, at least there was a lesson learned there for you and for her. So,
yeah, I think we both learned our lesson there.
And luckily there was no major injuries. Well, so
yeah, fortunately, and I'll definitely have to talk about my mama must have in a future episode of having Arnica on hand too. So thanks everyone for joining us today. I hope you got a lot out of this episode on fatigue. If you have any comments or suggestions or questions for us, please reach out, visit our website, connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We also have our show notes on our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. We'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. If you're enjoying us, please leave a review and a 5-star rating, and tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too.
Have a great week, everyone.
Take care. Bye.